I'll apologise in advance if there's any banging, by the way, but I have literally got guys building there against that wall. So, yeah.
That's all right. We're all into a bit of banging.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye. You'll find out on VG247's podcast. Here, what's the best game where you swing from a roof? And what's the best game where you batter the pole?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, a show where we like to find the best game within a really specific category. For example, this week, we're looking for the best game in which you fight a bear. Inspired by Tom Ori getting onto the work Slack and angrily going, we need more out there topics. The topics are too safe. Do one about fighting a bear. It could also be inspired by, of course, the Fallout TV show, in which there's a pivotal scene in the pilot where someone gets their shit pushed in by a big bear. And that's not a euphemism. Well, it is a euphemism. It's not that kind of euphemism. And which is it's a bit of a turning point for the entire show, isn't it? Which is good. So bears show up a lot in video games, particularly fantasy ones, but also ones that you would never actually expect, actually. And we're going to explore that today. I'm joined today by James Billcliffe, Dom Pepiat, and Alex Donaldson. And you guys, the three of you actually haven't been on the show for ages because... it's been like we've just been juggling like Kelsey and Tom.
Yeah, Connor. I need to be on more because I need to maintain my superiority.
To be honest, I think you could literally set out the next 100 episodes and
I don't think that's true. I've got the fear about what it might mean.
Very much the Floyd Mayweather of this podcast. You just need to start fighting. We need to start getting ringers in just for you to start stat padding, don't we?
I just brought my mates onto it last week.
Yes,
again.
I watched that last night.
Yeah, and I didn't tell Tom about that. They signed in. They put their names down as Mark and Kelsey, just so he wouldn't. And then when Richie revealed himself, Tom went on a bit of a rant about how, like, I said you could have Owen back, not Richie. And I was like, he's doing this a little bit too serious. Like, I don't know how much of this is a joke. I don't know how much of this is banter. But anyway. We're not here to talk about Tom, even though this is the Tom show, as far as a lot of people are concerned. All right, so Dom, you're rarely on the podcast because you're usually too busy running the website we all work for. What is this, your fifth appearance?
Yeah, fifth possibly.
God, is it really that low?
Yeah.
It's tiny.
Yeah, well, we're coming up for the 100th episode, by the way. Me and Tom are trying to figure out something special for that one. And we're thinking some sort of battle royale, some sort of quickfire thing. Not sure how it's going to work, but I suspect you'll all be back at some point soon with buzzers. So let's see how that works out.
Am I going to have to
like from Buzz the video game?
Yeah, I was about to say. I got the PS2 copy of Buzz.
It has to be the Xbox buzzers, the Xbox 360 buzzers. They were wireless, unlike the... Were the Buzz ones ever wireless? I don't know. I just remember was it Seen It?
Oh, my God.
Seen It, you're in the movies. And I just remember one of the greatest burns I have ever seen on a video game was someone... referring to that in written text in a review as you're in the movies, as in piss. Good old Kinect.
Was that Burns?
Probably.
It sounds like Burns. All right, okay. Let's get into it then. What are the best games in which you fight a bear? I want to pick first. Billcliffe, haven't heard from you for ages because you've been to Japan and also since the last time you were on. So tell us about that. Not Japan, actually, just bears.
My choices are too strong for you, Jim. You can't handle my choices.
All right, potion seller.
No, yeah. This is actually a really good topic because I was talking to, when this first came up, I was saying that you can pick so many like stone cold 10 out of 10 games for this that you can have.
That's true.
Like there's a big, that you can go for like more obvious sort of like recent stuff. Like there's a big bear boss fight in God of War Ragnarok, the juice from like Elden Ring. There's loads of bears in like Skyrim or like say Fallout, even though that's technically Yaogai, and I would be like really hot on anybody that chose Fallout because they're not bears, are they? It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I've gone for a game that I think is the first PlayStation game that I can ever remember having in my console life. I think it's one of the three. I think I can remember having R-Type on the Game Boy, which we all know is terrible. I can remember having the Sonic the Hedgehog on Master System, and I can remember having Tekken mm-hmm. 3 specifically when I was a kid. So 1999 console version specifically on PlayStation. And I think the what makes this stand out is that there are a lot of games where you fight bears, but how many games do you specifically have a sanctioned official bout against not one, but two different bears of the right genus, of the right sort of taxonomy? And I think Tekken 3 is a pretty much perfect game for what it sets out to for a couple of the reasons. Like, first off, it really solidified the kind of differentiating factor of Tekken, which is that 3D movement into the foreground, into the background, that sets it apart from Mortal Kombat, from Street Fighter, all of that sort of stuff. And I think that Tekken 3 might have even been the first one in the series that really had that. And so it's quite a an important game within that kind of iconic series in the first place. But I also think that it really is really emblematic of a really exciting era of games before there were knobheads like me that told you how to unlock everything, how to get everything. And before fighting games, I think they were kind of a little bit scarred by the kind of trade-in era of feeling like they really had to justify their purchases by saying everything that they had in all the front. That there was a big kind of discourse for a really long time of, oh, I don't play fighting games, I don't play racing games or whatever, that kind of thing, which I think we've kind of come out of the other side of with stuff like Street Fighter VI.
Yeah.
But the Tekken 3 specifically, and I remember playing it when I was a kid, just absolutely being mind blown by dragging my tiny child pea brain through the arcade mode to get to the other side of it. And then you go back into it and there's somebody else in the character select screen. Mm. And it was just like, Jesus. And they just, you get these, it's sort of semi-mythologized legendary things because being kids and not having a lot of access to tech and stuff, most of us didn't have memory cards. Most of us had to play all the way through every single time to unlock all of these people. So you'd think like, you can play as the last boss if you do it like six times through or whatever. And all of this stuff mythologized it to absolutely the nth degree. But not only that, another game that I remember playing as a kid was Streets of Rage. And for Tekken 3 to have Streets of Rage in it, essentially with Tekken characters in Tekken Force mode, just appear after you've beat the game was so exciting.
That's good.
Surprising. No, it isn't quite as tight because obviously it's a bonus mode essentially. But yeah, chicken, absolutely iconic. You know how people do those videos of meeting the Peggy guy and stuff? Like, I would really like to meet the guy that does the chicken sound for a second force mode. But yeah, I think it's a brilliant game. And to drill down into the real bareness of it, I think Kuma is an absolutely iconic character within that. That he is literally just a bear that has been trained in martial arts by Heihachi. And I was digging into the kind of deep lore of it when I knew that I was going to pick this. And all of these characters, Jinkasamu, the Mishima family and the sort of corporate espionage and all this sort of stuff. Kuma's just a bear. He's a bodyguard trained to be a bear.
Like,
and there's obviously Panda as well. Yeah, he's just a mate, he's just a dude. I think
I just want to very quickly throw in here that in the newest game in Tekken 8, Heihachi Mishima is dead. And one of the costumes for Kuma is he wears Heihachi's gi and his headband and like a kind of like he's so sad that he's dead that he's wearing all his clothes. and he's taken two of his moves, the electric wing god fist. I just think it's such good like lore building in how characters work. That's it. That's such incredible. A nice thing. It's very Tekken as well, very specifically Tekken.
Yeah. Actually, have any of you ever met Harada?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm looking at Alex here. Like, yeah, that's sick. I've only ever seen him.
He's funny.
I saw him eating breakfast once.
My Harada story. I don't know if I can tell that on the podcast. He's great fun. he's great fun, and I've interviewed him on many, many, many occasions, and he doesn't remember who I am, but that's fine because I've interviewed him. God, I interviewed him for Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Oh my god.
With Ono, and those two are obviously best mates. Like Harada is godfather, I think, to Ono's children, and so it was just an interview where I feel like Jim might remember this. They had a big joint party for Cross Tekken in Namco Funscape, your favorite place, BJ's favorite place, and so they had a big party, and so they did some interview. They did a journalist tournament. This game hadn't been out yet, and I got bopped. It was not fun, and then they just had interviews. But the mistake they sort of made was they did the interviews during the party. So by the time they got around to certainly my interview, Harada and Ono had been drinking for like 4 or 5 hours and they were just blasted. And it was probably one of the most fun interviews of my life. It wasn't a very productive interview from a content. So actually, they gave some good answers. There is an article somewhere on VG247, which was joint written by me and someone else, where they gave some pretty good answers for guys who'd been drinking for 4 hours and were like 8 pints deep. And I've interviewed him at E3 and I interviewed him quite recently. It's quite sad. I interviewed him for Tekken 8 and we spent the whole interview more or less being sad about the death of Japanese arcades. Tekken 8 was the first game that they ever released. It's the first game that they haven't first released into arcades. So usually Tekken 7 came out in the arcades and they took like a year to pep it up and add to it and use the arcade data to help balance it. And then they did the console version and then they brought those changes back to arcade. This time they just launched straight onto console. And as far as I know, they still haven't even formally announced an arcade version. There will be, I'm sure, because that's sort of the path that Street Fighter has taken as well, where the arcade version of SF6 is not long out now.
It doesn't appear to have gone too well
cool.
for them.
He's good.
Like Tekken 8 is kind of like in a bit of a dodgy patch at the moment because the balance is bad and the kind of post-launch content people are doing are really annoyed about it. Like
it's almost like it's hard to make those games without doing that weird arcade thing. And you don't just do a release into an arcade either. You do a lock test and all that sort of stuff. So it's quite a long road up to. And you think about it, Street Fighter 4 was in the arcades and then they did the console version and I think they added 8 more characters. Can't remember exactly how many, but it was like the original version of Street Fighter 4 didn't have Cammy or DJ or Teok or Fei Long or Sakura or Rose, didn't have any of those characters. All those were additions for the console version because they had it out in Japanese arcade with like 12 characters for a year before they went to console, and that helped them to iron a lot of the crap out. And then you flip around and their first game that they released on console first was Street Fighter V. And we all saw how that was at launch. So it's almost like Namco are now learning their version of the lesson that Capcom learned, but not as bad because at least Tekken 8's got like single player content.
Yeah, it had loads of stuff on disc in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Just going back to Tekken 3 and Kuma, I think I'm right in saying this. There was a Tekken 3 concept character to go alongside Kuma when it was in development, which was just a big salmon. So the character would have just been in the character select screen, just a salmon. And so you could have had Kuma and a big salmon. And now in Tekken 8, Kuma's next super ultimate move is a big robotic salmon that he lobs at the enemy. So it's kind of a little throwback.
I love that. That's come full circle. All right. Okay. I love Tekken 3. I have to say, there was one summer I spent in Swansea, and I spent all my time with one of my mates down there, and it was the year that Tekken 3 had come out, and he brought his PS1 around to the house we were staying in, and we just spent the entire fucking summer playing Tekken 3 and Wipeout 2097, and to this day it's the best summer I've ever had in my life. So yeah, very PS1. So I've never owned one, but that never had a PS1 when I was a kid, unfortunately. But yeah, That was my entire introduction to the PS1, and it was like, what a great introduction.
Two of the Tekken best soundtracks. Is incredible. Well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I actually properly got into the Prodigy after that. all right, okay, let's move on from Bill Cliff. Didn't mean to make that weirdly personal. Dom.
Hello.
What is the best game where you fight a bear, as far as you're concerned?
Right, so I'm a little bit on the back foot because James has said he's going to be funny about anyone choosing Fallout because of the Yao Guai are not technically bears. Because my interpretation of a bear is non-traditional. In the gay community, a bear is a big, hairy, muscly man, right? And he's someone that, they call them tribes, certain tribes of people in the gay community. There's otters, there's bears, there's twinks, there's twunks, who once was a twink and has now twunked. All this kind of stuff.
I mean, this does sound like Fallout factions.
you can imagine all the twinks living in like the discarded shell of some sort of like, I don't know, some gay bar in downtown like New York. It'd be such a set piece to go into, wouldn't it? The woke agenda gone mad.
They should do that. Why don't they do that? It's more interesting than anything in Fallout 4.
Fallout 76, where just like you can play with the queer community. It'd be amazing. Anyway, with this in mind, I chose, it's kind of on my mind right now because the alpha test for the second one is currently underway and I'm staying up to like 2 a.m. every morning playing it. It is Hades, because right at the end, sorry, spoilers for everyone, you fight a big bear in the form of your big daddy bear, actual dad, Hades. He looks like the most bearish bear that's ever been in the video game. He's big, he's strong, he's quite imposing. He lords it over the underworld. He looks like he'd give a really nice cuddle and give good aftercare. He makes like an astonishing series of like quite erotic noises during the fight. yeah, Hades. And like, you know, that's kind of, that game also is like so big within the queer community because everyone in it is hot. Everyone is like, so like, all the character portraits are ridiculous. There's a lot of queerness. It's set in like the pantheon of Greek gods where everyone was just horny all the time and they all slept together anyway. Like, I think it's like the most like, it's a shrine and a sort of like a totem to queer fandom and queerness in games. The character you play as, Zagreus, like, this means a lot to me. He's bisexual and polyamorous. He can't, there's no other games like that. So for him to fight a bear at the end, oh, mwah, chef's kiss. It's absolutely perfect realization. I think the guys at Supergiant know exactly what they're
another,
doing.
Yeah. It's another 10 out of 10 game, that, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Hades is an easy 10 out of 10 for me, I think. And like, you know.
Just looking at Hades's character portrait, and I agree.
is he hairy though? He's just got long hair. He's just got long hair. Is that right?
Yeah, but under that armor, surely, like under that armor, like surely, there's a lot of like hair going on under there.
Yeah, you can tell he's got thick, matted chest hair. Just that it'll be quite nice to use as a pillow. You can tell. It's right there. It's in the art. I could probably get in touch with the guys from Supergiant and ask them, is Hades a bear, please? Maybe we could run that as an article. It'll do quite well. And we get so much hate from idiots. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah. the article attached to this podcast should just be that. okay. Right, okay. I haven't played Hades, and the reason I haven't played Hades, even though it's like it looks like such a me game, and
it's such a gym game.
It is. People like say to me like, you should play this, you'll love it. And like, I love, you know, everyone knows I love history, I love RPGs, I love all that stuff, you know. Just the fact that it's about like, you know, the pantheon of ancient gods and stuff like that. Full of wonderful stuff. I love that studio. I think Pyre is one of the best sports games ever made. Like, it's fucking incredible. But the reason I haven't is just because of the word roguelike. And, like, I tell you why, because every like, it feels like every 6 months, or it feels like every week at one point, a fucking roguelite or a roguelike comes out, and everyone goes, this is the roguelike for people who don't like roguelikes. And then I play it, and it fucking isn't, right? It's usually Chris Schilling, I have to say. And so when everyone said that about Hades, I was like, I'm not doing it again. I'm just not.
I would say, with the differentiating point of Hades, I'm going to sound like such a wanker. The differential point of Hades is that the narrative it does roguelike elements with its story as well, because like each time you go through, depending on the different perks you get, depending on the different way you play it, you will get different voice lines, you will get different interactions, you will get different stuff. And that kind of feeds, it's the roguelike mentality, that building blocks element that you have with the mechanics, with the weapons, with the abilities you pick up, but done with story. Even playing it through after like 200 hours and getting one new voice line makes me lose my shit. Like, it's amazing how it gets you that invested in these characters. Like, oh my God, Aphrodite said something I've not heard about Hermes. Oh wow, it feels like you're collecting narrative in the same way that you collect upgrades and kind of the and they stack as well. They're permanent, so when you hear it once, you might not hear it again, because it's now part of the kind of persistent world that you've created every time you go through. So yes, it is a roguelike, and yes, it is kind of ad infinitum, just grinding through it. But that element, that story element to it, you don't get the real ending until you beat it 10 times, and then you don't get the real ending until you beat it like 100 times. And that, to some people, that is an instant turn off, like, oh my God, that's something. But for what this game does and how it builds and it layers that story on, I think it's such a pure realization of the genre. I wish I could find a better way of saying it than that.
There's some like really cool technical stuff that I think you'd like about it too. The, as you're kind of discovering it and discovering different characters, as we mentioned with Tekken and all of the games that we talked about, great soundtracks. Hades has an incredible soundtrack in the background, and there are some kind of little things that it's Darren Korb, I think, is done in the background. Like, there's that to kind of communicate the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. Yeah. They have like a duet that they sing throughout the game. They sing essentially the same song, and then as you kind of resolve that storyline, they bring it together as a duet, and they sing like the bass melody at the relative harmonic major and minor of the underlying melody to kind of communicate the sadness and the optimism of their different characters and things like that. So it's just a really clever game in so many different ways, and that the in the technical test video that they released the other day, saying how they've scaled up to, we're a really big team now, we're 25 people or whatever. I think it's an incredible achievement from that standpoint as well.
That's cool. All right, maybe I should play it.
Play Hades.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Maybe I will. I've got some time off coming up. I'll try to complete it 100
it's
times.
It's a proper good Steam Deck game. I've got it on Switch, but like, it's a proper good handheld game. So
I was literally thinking that, actually. Maybe I'll stick it on the Steam Deck. All right, okay. Donaldson, I'm looking forward to this, because you haven't been on for a while either, and you usually pick a banger, and you haven't picked anything to do with 50 Cent this week. Because I was like, I've not played Blood on the Sand. I mean, I don't, maybe there is a bit where you kill a bear, but no. What have you picked? What's the best game where you fight a bear?
So, in the middle of Birmingham, there's a
what start?
There's a lovely pub that proudly displays its greatest ever guest, where it's got a great big photo of Bill Clinton standing on their balcony, holding aloft a pint of mild or something and waving at people. This was, you know, he was in the midst of his sex scandal. So what do? You go to Birmingham. He was in town for the G8. They actually did the G8 in Birmingham in 1998. Thank you, Tony Blair. Yeah. Was Tonti Blair behind that? Yes. Anyway, so there's that pub in the middle of Birmingham. Just a minute up the road, there's another pub
Yeah.
And that's a pub that I actually used to frequent quite a lot. It's called The Flapper. They've been trying to knock it down for years. And they keep, it keeps being like, the owner keeps being told, yeah, we're going to knock this down and build like fucking luxury flats or something like that. And then he resists and there's always petitions and stuff like that. And then the council, because it can't bear another scandal already being bankrupt, backs down and allows the pub to stay. It's had a stay of execution like four times now. Whether the pub will still be there by the time this podcast goes out, it will be, but you know, there's every chance that one day the bulldozers will move in. Anyway, Flapper's nice. It's sort of on the canal side, so yeah. I've seen someone go into the canal after having too much to drink at that pub. You know, Birmingham's beautiful canals, more miles of canal than Venice, also more shopping trolleys and dog shite in those canals than Venice. Anyway, so I like The Flapper. It's like a rock pub, lots of live music, good pint of Guinness, pool tables, stuff like that, pinball tables. Quite rare to find good pub that's got pinball tables. Like in Birmingham, there's a nice pinball bar called Tilt. If any listeners are ever in that area or live around there, you should definitely check Tilt out, because it's just hundreds of pinball machines and a lot of lager and a lot of ale, which is great. But The Flapper's also always got some pinball machines. And in there, they also have some arcade machines. And they have typically, I don't know if it's still there at the minute, but I have many fond memories spent on one particular arcade machine. And that is Big Buck Hunter HD, or Buck Hunter HD, I think it's called. Part of the Big Buck Hunter series. And yeah, it's a great game. I mean, if you've got a bunch of dudes in a pub standing around going, "Oh, blokes," what is a bigger way of showing off your masculinity than by executing an animal? And Big Buck Hunter is actually like a little bit sensibly minded as well. Like the object of the game is actually to, as the name suggests, hunt the bucks. And you lose points and get game overs if you like kill the does, because you're not supposed to do that. That's not good hunting etiquette. It's actually like hunting etiquette as opposed to wankers who go and just shoot lions for the crack. And yeah, so Big Buck HD, it's North America, and I think it's got an Africa bit as well. And so it has bears. It's got black bears. It's got brown bears. This is a game that has multiple modes. I should say this is a light gun game. So you have a big light gun, like a hunting rifle, and it's two player. And so you can compete with a drunken friend and so you can get the highest score. And I've always been quite fond of the Big Buck. Like I always think, you know, I love Time Crisis and I love House of the Dead and Virtua Cop, less so that one. And those things are all fun, but actually for the pub environment and for people competing, like I say, in that sort of way, the hunting game is just perfect. And the Big Buck series is just bizarrely big. It's huge. It's telling that like Arcade 1UP, that home arcade company, made a Big Buck machine for home before they made a Time Crisis machine. And they still haven't made like House of the Dead or any of the others. Like when they decided they were going to do a light gun game, they were like, "What are we going to do?" And he's like, "We're going to do Big Buck. We're going to do Buck Hunter." And that's just because there are loads of people who are only barely gamers who are really into these games, and they're genuinely really rather good. It's sort of like in that same zone as like Golden Tee. How many millions of people play Golden Tee? It's probably one of the biggest sports games in the world. But no one talks about it because it's not on console and da 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 da. Although Big Buck, they have put some out over the years. I definitely remember there was one on 360. But anyway, this specific one, the other thing I like about it, which is just sort of my little X factor. So obviously there's bears you can hunt and fight, and they're some of the most dangerous. And I think actually specifically the brown bear is one of the most dangerous animals in the game that can kill you so fast. But also, these games get patched through the internet to add new stuff. And after it had been out for a couple of years, I went into the Flapper and it had been updated. And they had a zombie mode. this was called Doe of the Dead. Very good. Yeah, so in addition to everything else, and it was sort of like a bit more story focused, it's a bit more basically, it's really clever because the big book experience is quite slow and quite methodical, and you're watching quite carefully. And like I say, you're not supposed to kill certain things, so you're watching and you're being really calm while you're playing it as much as you can be calm after 6 or 7 pints. And the Dough of the Dead was basically like them turning their machine using all their assets and stuff into a traditional light gun shooter. So it adds story cutscenes and all that sort of stuff. There's like moonshine, there's jugs of moonshine that you find that give you more points and I think restore your health, because that's very Texas Hicks. Oh, we're going to drink some moonshine. And it's like the different zombie animals all sort of have different gameplay elements. So like zombie chickens just come in like swarms and there's loads of them and you've just got to like shoot as quick as you can. Yeah, it's funny, but as part of that, like the most dangerous enemy in that is the zombie bear. And that's all part of the same game. So you boot that cabinet and you can choose, as long as you're up to date, you can choose to play that mode or you can choose to play the traditional mode. But, you know, when I think bears, I think of like the Revenant and Leo fighting that bear. And I think, you could go for like a Red Dead or Fallout or something like that. But I was like, I'm going to go for, I thought of picking something else before we started. And I mentioned it to Jim and he said someone else had chose it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go realistic. And that led me to the flapper. And that led me to the many, many pound coins pumped into Buck Hunter HD. And to the zombie mode and to the realistic mode and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, there's four different types of bear in the game. So, you know, you've got a bit of choice there. American black bear, brown bear, short faced bear, night bear. Is that a real? The night bear, he's not a real bear. That is, it appears in Buckzilla Adventure, which obviously is another mode that I've never seen before. And it appears to be a dinosaur like a Godzilla bear. Yeah, or something like that. Okay, Buckzilla. But yeah, I can't stress enough. One, this game is really good. If you ever see one of them, I definitely recommend playing it. Two, as I said before, it is deceptively big. So every year they host the Big Buck World Championship. And that is a big old tournament like an Evo or like an, you know, Overwatch League. Brings together the best Big Buck Hunter players from across the world. And the prize pot is like six figures.
We need to get Connor on this beat.
We've got to send Connor, yeah. I was just thinking.
Yeah, oh my God. We need to send Connor to the Big Buck Hunter tourney. Oh my God.
Can we
go there and film it.
Can we gonzo it? Can we get him trained up in it and compete and then report on competing? That we
Friday,
need to do
October
this.
11th and Saturday, October 12th.
Oh, we've got time, man. Saying,
Friday, October 11th.
We have actually got the
Saturday,
time,
Saturday, yeah. October 12th.
Yeah.
That's the official website. Too good not to do. Whereabouts is it?
It is too good.
Is it America?
Yeah, it's in Chicago.
Sick. Oh, my God. Yeah,
in person,
head
to head, double elimination bracket.
We've got to cover this. Like, I can imagine Connor after his like 6 week of being trained to play this game, just being like, "Why are you making me do this?" All right, okay, I love it.
I'm setting everyone's objectives. Like tomorrow, I'm going to make like Connor win the tournament for Big Buck Hunter. That's your workday objective.
Win it. Win the tournament, or that's it. You're out. All right, okay. Right, I got to pick something now, and annoyingly, legitimately, they're all really good choices. I really love, Tekken 3 is wonderful, and it has, and as you say, the great thing about fighting a bear in that is that he's just a bear. He's not a super bear, he is quite super, but there's no tricks. He's just a bear who's been trained in the art of
I think there actually is a bit of a Donkey Kong thing going on. That he's like the one in Tekken 3 is like the son of the original Kuma, and I do find the idea of sort of congenital martial arts like pretty funny.
Yeah. It's like a genetic memory sort of Assassin's Creed type deal.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. But I, as great as Tekken 3 is, I'm not going to pick it.
I want to jump James. In here first. I've got some questions. Jim.
No.
I've got some
right,
questions.
Okay. All right.
Is a hunt a fight? Just chucking it out there.
It is when they can fucking kill you.
Well, we're talking about a sanction. This is a fight. We've talked about, Dom's talked about a battle, perhaps a scrap. Alex has brought a hunt. I'm the only person that's brought a sanctioned official fight against specifically a bear.
I think it truly depends on what you're hunting. I wouldn't call duck hunt a fight, but when it's a giant brown bear, I think it's more of a fight.
You've touched on, right, okay. James, right. I was gonna say, like, is, you know, if you're like miles away and you're shooting a rifle at a bear, is that fighting the bear? And I know the bear can kill you, but that's exactly what I was gonna say, James, to eliminate Big Buck HD. because the choices are so good that I've just got to find like petty reasons, right? So Tekken 3,
can't believe Tekken 3, wonderful. Story and still didn't win.
All right, Tekken 3, wonderful. Love the Bill Clinton story. I love, as you know, like we love any mention of Tony Blair and Jess on this podcast. But I have to go for Hades because I love the interpretation of the topic, and I was hoping somebody would do that because I was like, you know, it's such low-hanging fruit. We put it out there. Best game where you fight a bear. And I was like, someone is going to do one where you fight a big, hairy dude. And I made a promise to myself way before this. Whoever does that is going to win. Oh, and it's Dom. Dom did
such
it.
Such a win for the queer community.
If I'm being honest, I did suspect it would be Dom.
This, my friends, is the queer agenda. This is what everyone's on about. This is what all those chuds on Reddit are after.
Everyone's going to be raging in the...
I'm raging.
You're going to be raging. All right, listen. All right, so Hades is the best game where you fight a big bear. If you are not a paid subscriber to VG247 or to the VG247 Best Games Ever podcast, this is unfortunately the point where we say goodbye. But if you're interested in an extended version of this show where I tell everyone what my pick was going to be and then they do a bit of workplace bullying to tell me how rubbish it is, then it's usually about 15-20 minutes longer, then go to VG247 and click on the Support Us page to find out how you can get access to that. It is $2.99 a month and comes with other benefits as well. So thanks very much for that. If you enjoyed that, please leave us a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. It really helps us out. Like and subscribe and tell us what your favorite games are where you fight a bear, and if you want, just tell us how much I've got it wrong. I'd love to start a Bill Cliff was robbed, Donaldson was robbed movement going, because the Tom was robbed stuff frankly needs some sort of like counter movement. So all right, thanks very much everyone, say bye-bye.